All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you ever wondered how to crack the code for real estate success and the hidden gems in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, today I'm joined by Corey Winters, the mastermind behind his unique strategy using the 1031 exchange system, house hacking, burring, all the things in this up-and-coming real estate market right now. Corey, welcome to the show. Excited to dive into your real estate journey.
So excited. So good to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So there's a bunch of things I want to unpack, but let's start right at the beginning. You know, how did you get started in real estate? What was the thing that said, you know, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to do?
So before I started real estate, I was actually buying motorcycles. So I had four motorcycles. And my thing is I would buy them and I would ride them around for a little bit. Then I would fix them up. Then I would sell them for profit.
Yeah.
So I spoke to my aunt, and at this point I was trying to buy a souped up car. So I wanted to be like my friends. They all drove really nice sports cars. My aunt kind of gave me some guidance, and we sat down and we did the math, and she showed me that it's actually cheaper for me to own a property than it is to own a nice car. You know, the car, the big car that I wanted. And that's how it got started. You know, I sold all my motorcycles. I had a decent down payment and I had a nice cushion to fall back on. And I bought my first duplex about 6 months after that conversation. And that's where it all started.
Well, and cars tend to depreciate. I'm sure she brought that up. She's like, you know, you're going to buy that thing for, I don't know, 15, 20, 30, you know, a nice sports car can really run the bill up. And the second you drive it off the lot, hit one speed bump, one pothole, and the depreciation kicks in real quick. So, and you can't really write that off on a vehicle like that. So when you decided to go into real estate, you sold the motorcycles, instead bought a duplex.
Absolutely. And the way my aunt explained it to me, she said, you know, you can buy a nice car now, or you can invest in real estate, and 10 years later, you can buy yourself a house with a nice garage and store two or three of those cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the delayed gratification of the real estate strategy, which, you know, it's not super popular for young people these days. Is like, hey, if you sacrifice a few years, and use the S word and scare them, sacrifice. If you sacrifice a few years of your standard of living, and you don't really have to like live, you know, below your means or anything, but it just means that you might have to, you know, not buy the sports car. So you invested in the duplex. What car did you end up having to, because now you sold all your motorcycles, you got to drive something. What did you end up picking up in the interim?
I got a 2002 Pontiac Grand Am, and I actually just gave that to my brother last year. That car was lovely. It got me everywhere I needed to go. It worked perfectly fine. It did exactly what I needed to do.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, you know, there's so many investors. You look at Warren Buffett, he's still driving around his thing. He said, if you treat that car like it's the only car you'll ever have, you're going to have that car for a long time. So when you got into the duplex, did you end up moving into that duplex? Because we've got house hacking here as one of your strategies. So you were moved into the duplex, living in the half and you know, getting that appreciation. So what was your next step beyond the house hacking?
I think that the house hacking piece, I mean, it's a little bit deeper than that. So I lived in one of my units. I fixed the place up. I pulled up the carpet, you know, put new carpet down. I think the biggest aspect you should take away, if anything, is that my mortgage was about $1,255 and some change. I rented out my downstairs unit for $1,200 a month. Mm-hmm. So I paid $55 a month and change, which was, you know, I could take that extra money, that passive income, because now I'm not paying rent anymore. It's going straight towards my mortgage. And I paid down all my debt. You know, mm-hmm. I started paying off my student loans and things of that matter.
That's the big thing when you look at house hacking is, yes, we don't have to pay rent anymore, but it also gives you the security as an entrepreneur to be like, okay, my rent is probably paid. You know, sometimes the tenant or whatever is late or whatever, but mm-hmm. it certainly gives you that. You're like already starting at zero at the beginning of the month instead of starting down 1200. You're kind of at zero, and you know that that's going to keep going, and the place that you live is paid for. That other person's going to work to pay the mortgage in which, you know, you're living in the other half. So How long did you stay there? Are you still living in that duplex today?
I stayed there for a year and a half, and then I moved into a single family home. At this point, I was just kind of tired of having like a tenant. This tenant, I accidentally told this tenant that I was the property owner, and so he was kind of nagging with me a lot. And I just thought I needed a break because we just had a new baby. So we got a single family home at that point. And then I just kind of prepped myself and asked myself, what do I need to do next to get my next property? And I just kind of went from there.
So what was the next step once you got into that single family? Because now did you sell the duplex off, or did you keep it
At
and
this
then
point,
get
I
a
still
second
had the
one?
duplex. But so from there, the next step was to raise capital. And this happened, I think the pandemic happened approximately 6, maybe about a year after that. So a lot of the capital that I had saved up, I ended up losing my job. And I asked myself, I said, okay, now I don't have a job. What is the next step? And so the next step for me was I wanted to start trying to learn as many skills as possible when I started to purchase more real estate. So the first thing I taught myself was flooring. The second thing I taught myself was how to build a paved patio. And I was starting to learn how to do a fence, but I ended up learning how to do fences like later on down the road. So I was asking myself, what skills can I learn in the interim to get myself prepared for when I start buying more properties? I also, raising capital was a big thing for me as well. I started teaching online with VIP Kid, teaching Chinese student English. I also got into the stock market at the same time. So I think I made over like $100,000 in the stock market, and I used that money to buy a triplex. And that was probably the best purchase I've made thus far.
And are you still
So
in the stock market, or did you exit when to get into that unit?
funny story. I did exit to get into that unit, but the market went was supposed to go one way based off my all my analytics that I ran, but it went the opposite way and I lost like 6 grand and I was just like, that's good. So
I
it was
played my
like
hand like a casino. I'm
right.
cashing out.
Cashed out and I bought that. I bought my triplex. I bought my triplex for 267,000. That triplex right now is worth 375,000.
So one thing I really love about your market, and I've interviewed a few people in Milwaukee, and I love the pricing. I love the value against the rent. I love the cap rates. I love the opportunity. And the government there is really aggressive on growing the city. And so
Absolutely.
that's only going to be better for your opportunity. So how are you investing in the marketplace now? Because now we've got, jogged a few years since the pandemic. What have you been doing since you were able to put some capital together? What's the next step and where you're going now?
So let's take one step back. So after I bought my triplex, I ended up selling my very first duplex that I bought. And I made, after fees and everything, I think we were at about 70. 75,000 in that range. That's proceeds that came directly to me. So I had a dilemma now. So I had sold really high and I checked out the market. I scoured the market and I scoured the market. And I was just concerned that I was going to sell high and then I was going to buy really high. So I reached out and I spoke with a few people and I developed a new strategy. So instead of buying like one triplex for, 250,000, I possibly could have bought two as rental units, but I just wasn't the route for me. I ended up buying three, I would say C minus neighborhood duplexes in C minus neighborhoods, and my cash flow from those are actually more than I've ever had prior.
Are these Section 8 style properties?
They are qualified for Section 8, but I have like three Section 8 tenants.
Because usually when you're looking at that price bracket, in my market, we get the same thing. 50, 60% of the time, you might get a cash renter or like a regular renter. And then the other side of it is the applicants are like a Section 8 type of applicant, which is perfectly fine, and they sometimes turn out to be some of the better tenants when dealing with these C plus neighborhoods. But the cash flow is great and the
Absolutely.
appreciation, not the worst, but definitely. So, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you used a 1031 exchange on that
Yes, that's what I
duplex
was
to
going to
roll it
say.
into a couple
So
property.
I did not want to pay taxes or capital gains taxes, and I thought it was absolutely mortifying. And so that was my avenue out. I did a 1031 exchange, and I ended up purchasing those three duplexes. I was very intentional with my purchases. I made sure all my purchases were within walking distance of schools. So depreciation, I mean, I bought them last year, and they've already appreciated $30,000 per duplex.
There you go. So it's, yeah, the 1031 exchange is great. You get, I think, 6 months to identify and move the money in and out of that before you have to like come back to the table and say, oh, I got to pay capital gains on this. So you're able to exit and push that money, that tax deferral into the next couple properties and pretty much triple up from a double to six. So 2 to 6 from the same money out. Now,
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you fix these things up and bird them out, or what sort of maintenance did you have to do to roll into these three properties?
So we inherited tenants. So I had to get one person out that was related to the seller. As far as the overall amount of work I put into these properties, the three that I bought, I think I put maybe about 7,000. 7,000 total, and that was just coming out and just nothing major, just pulling up carpet,
Maintenance.
installing carpet, redoing flooring, paying people to come out and paint, just the quality of life things.
Did you put the carpet in, or did you pay to have the carpet put in?
It was actually my fiance's father that helped us out. He's done a lot. Like he's our saving grace when it comes to a lot of work. If anything major happens and I need to be bailed out, he's the first person I'll call because
Yeah,
he's a general contractor.
I always found that, people want to put laminate in all over the place, but the dollars per square foot on carpet, if it gets messed up, like you can get carpet installed cheap and just replace it. If they really screwed it up, just, do the living room again and piece it in, like it's carpet. It'll be, and I think people appreciate carpet too, especially as a renter. They typically don't get that. They get laminate all day. So, what's next now that you've got this portfolio going and you're raising capital? What's next?
So I just bought another property in June. I bought another triplex, so same spiel. It's in the up a neighborhood that I believe is up and coming. It's kind of a rough neighborhood. But if you walk two blocks to the left, you'll see people walking like their shih tzus and everything. It's really close to UW Milwaukee campus. And that was the biggest thing to me. And now, give or take, this one's the only one that I don't know for certain because it's off Zillow. The other three duplexes, I had to get another appraisal on when I bought this triplex. The values went up by 35,000, and to me, that's a really big deal. Houses in the area are selling for more and more every month. So I think I just found a hidden gem, essentially. I got everything rented out. It's set to go. I always put the emphasis on write-offs. So, I will come in and I will just fix up the place. I don't care how much it's going to cost me as long as it's reasonable, And I always look at it in the long grand scheme of things that, hey, I can charge more rent for this now. And on the back end, I can use this as a write-off. So that's where we are as of right now. My next goal is to leap into commercial. Well, I'm doing two things at once. So I'm trying to get into commercial. I've been struggling with networking. I'm trying to get better about that. The biggest thing is making sure I'm on my social media accounts and making sure they're active. The other thing is, just making sure I'm telling people about what I'm doing. Now, I'm also a teacher. That's my day job. Just being at work every day and kind of explaining to people what I'm doing. I've had one of my colleagues that's reached out to me and said that she wants to invest in real estate. So, she just bought a property and they have this surplus of cash that they're sitting on. And I'm hoping to, utilize these funds to get myself into a commercial property and eventually pay them out within a year or so.
Yeah, networking, letting people know, and certainly it's never been easier with social media to document your journey. So, what are you doing now to fund the next deal? How's your
So to fund the next deal,
position?
I currently have so the property that I bought, the triplex that I bought last year, I actually pulled out a HELOC on that. So I have a HELOC and it's close to $50,000. That's going to be my first surplus of cash right there. I'm also going through a CDFI, so they're allowing me to put down 10% of the cash, and then 10% can come from equity just as a down payment. So let's say if I need 250,000, I can come to them and I can say, hey, 250,000, I need to borrow this amount of money before I can buy this commercial unit. They're going to say, okay, 250,000, you give me 10% cash and 10% equity, just proving that I have the equity available, and they're going to give me that $250,000. From there, I can go to an actual commercial lender and say, hey, I have this $250,000. I'm trying to buy this commercial building right here. And that's the one way we can make it work. So I actually learned that from Charles Anthony that
There
was
you
on here
go.
the other day.
We were talking a little bit about leveraging your existing network to get access to more money. One of my close, I guess you'd call them colleagues in the business, people that I do business with in real estate. He used to be a teacher, and only when he actually exited being a teacher could he really blow social media up. Do you find that your job makes it kind of difficult to be on social media?
I mean, there's give or take, there's hit and miss. I've always been a little bit leery about social media just because, being a teacher, I had a situation where a student found my account and was trying to message me and stuff like that. So I kind of shied away from it a bit. But I think the two can absolutely coexist. Everyone at my job now knows that I'm a realtor. As a matter of fact, with my brokerage, we're actually setting up a thing where we're going to have a workshop where we're going to teach the parents how to, build credit, how to house hack, getting their first property, the do's and don'ts. We're setting that up, and that's going to be in January.
Nice.
So I think they can absolutely coexist, but of course there's going to be like conflicts of interest. So if anybody were to come and buy a property, it just couldn't be through me. Now, whether or not I would get like a piece of commission just for the referral, we haven't really talked about that. But my biggest goal is just getting people into their own houses. And my overall mindset is that, if I can get, let's say out of the, 300 parents, if I can get like 6 to 8 of them to do house hacking and become landlords, 5 years down the road, I can hit them up and say, hey, I have this commercial deal right here. Are you interested? Are you interested in pulling equity out of the property you currently own? Have you bought more properties? Just kind of coasting them and guiding them on their way.
Yeah, because it, if we can, it's almost like a type of financial education. A lot of people aren't even aware what you can do with real estate as far as the built-in savings account nature of something that's also like a high yield savings account, because these things are typically appreciating slightly more, or even if they're only indexed as inflation, like that's typically good enough. Better than what you're going to get at the bank. So you might as well get into some property. Now, as far as getting into property, are you find the deal and get the money kind of guy, or do you prefer to have your capital lined up and then go looking for the next deal?
A little bit of both. So I had one property that I really wanted. It was actually a block from my elementary school that I went to. The numbers just did not add up. So this place, it was going for 1.2 million, and it needed some work. It needed at least about $200,000, $300,000 worth of work. And I tried negotiating with them because at this point it was off market. The listing had expired, and I reached out to them. We started talking, and first he said 0% down, then he said 5%, then he said 10%. And by this point, I'm just like, hey, let's get this in the contract. And he's like, all right, fine, we can have a contract, but 20% down is the price. So I'm trying to avoid things like that where I'm just wasting time. I also had a 20-unit deal that just kind of fell apart. Same thing. Asking price of 700,000, which actually was not bad, but only 4 of the units were functional. And the ones that were functional, he had people that worked for him living there. So what I did is that I reached out to everybody that I knew that had funds that they were sitting on, and I just said, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. If I find the next property, do you think you're going to be interested? And so I think as of right now, we have about $125,000, and we're just waiting for that next property so we can click the go button.
Yeah, so you got the some money lined up and properties on the horizon. So How do you go about presenting your deals to possible investors? You could find something, and then you approach someone. What does that look like for you, or what's your process?
So for me, this is actually something that Charles Anthony helped me out as well. We call it a pair deck. So I get together just a slideshow that just says like, who I am, how I started to invest, tell them that I'm a teacher. I've been investing for the past 5 years, and I just go through things step by step. And then I just come into the aspect where we show the actual property, show the hopeful value and everything, and the worst case scenario. I think both of those go hand in hand. So hopeful, worst case scenario, this is how we're planning on paying you out. This is my exit strategy. Just going through things step by step, and just to make them feel comfortable and seeing that I'm transparent about everything.
Yeah, making sure that they're comfortable enough to be, to be in the deal instead of just being like, okay, I trust you. Like they gotta trust themselves when they look at the deal. So, when people invest significant amounts of money with you, they need to know you, like you, and trust you. So, with your social media kind of emerging, what do you do in the interim to kind of address those things, like that they know you, that they like you, that they trust you?
The biggest thing, I've always talked about real estate. And I know sometimes people don't necessarily want to hear it, but I'll talk to them about it anyway. And so what that's kind of started to do is, from word of mouth, people are starting to say, hey, Corey, the guy that bought X, Y, or Z, and they'll reach out to me that way. I make sure that I post on social media at least once per day, something that's real estate related or something that, like credit repair, financial counseling, things of that manner. Posting once a day. I'm also on BiggerPockets as well, and I'm just kind of scouring. Whenever anybody posts and they're looking for something in the Milwaukee area, which is right now, Milwaukee is a really bustling area. I'll just reach out and say, hey, my name is Corey Winters. I'm a licensed realtor. I can be your ground person. I offer property management. I can also go inside properties and take pictures for you, so on and so forth. So I'm trying to make myself like a known figure, especially on BiggerPockets, because if you go through like realtor.com and you're buying leads, they're cold leads. Or if I were to like mail out what I was going to do an EDM, every door direct mail. I was going to do that and send out like postcards and myself to, 800, 900 people. Those would all be cold leads and they take more time. And so I think that in the grand scheme of things, if I were on BiggerPockets, and let's say if I found somebody that had, $100,000 to invest, I could say, hey, you can invest into, a couple single family homes or a couple duplex, or you can take your money and you can kind of source it with me and we can get a bigger deal. So that's my game plan. Still a work in process, but we're getting there slowly, slowly but surely.
Yeah, I like that you're building on the fact that you're trying to be the guy out there, which will definitely increase your credibility, let people know that you're out there, let them know that you do the business, and then they can decide how much they like you, and then ultimately, once they look under the hood, decide how much that they trust to invest with you. So if people want to, find out more and connect with you, what should they do?
You can find me on social media. My tag is Corey Kin. I need to get an Instagram. I'm gonna actually do that as soon as we hang up here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get on
It
top
was
of
killing me a little bit. Yeah, it was killing me a little bit. I mean, sometimes it's challenging as an investor to manage all these socials, because it's like, which one's actually working for me? And typically we're doing things, and so that it's almost like its own little job. But I think ultimately any investor can benefit from documenting their leadership in the market. So I really appreciate your time here today, Corey. And yeah, definitely, I love how you were able to break down that 1031 exchange, and were able to maximize it. I think people could learn a lot from that. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.